Okay, we're going to get started then. This is the Marysville Board of Education regular meeting of Thursday, July 26, 2012. Have a roll call, please.
Mr. Mady.
Here.
Mrs. Greer.
Here.
Mr. Devine.
Here.
Mr. Lassiter.
Here.
Mrs. Powers.
Here.
Okay, we're all here. You please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. All right. Next up is the adoption of the agenda. As you'll notice in front of you, you have an addendum that I believe you got in your email today. One for number 12, one for number 16, and an additional number 16 on there.
Yes.
And would you please add 4.5 under the reports for a Finance Committee report, please? And if there are no other additions, deletions, questions, and or otherwise, I need a motion to accept the agenda, please.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Devine.
Yes.
Mrs. Powers.
Yes.
Mr. Mady.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Next up, superintendent's report. Yay.
Thank you. First of all, official first meeting, so yes. Excited to be here. As I've been kind of keeping up through our weekly updates, I wanted to let you know that I finished all my building visits and really had great attendance. So excited to get the feedback put together. As you know, those are the beginning steps of kind of the strategic plan. So I asked two questions. What are you most proud of? And if you had a magic wand, what would you change? So we're putting that feedback together and still want to meet with a group of students at the high school level and middle school level, community members, and a group of business leaders. So that report will encompass all that, but just really impressed with the people who are willing to give up their time and come in and have that conversation. So it's been really exciting. Also, I sent you an email with really exciting news about the Bunzel program and Michelle Harris. She was able to get a $200,000 grant annually for the next 5 years to host an after-school program focusing on tutoring in reading and math for our middle school students, a Monday through Thursday program. So really excited about that opportunity.
That is amazing.
Just about couldn't get her off the ceiling. She was
About that close when she was in here, so I can't imagine what
So great opportunity for us to offer something else for our middle school students, and I've heard that a little bit since.
Now, is she rolling that out this year? I don't remember her timeline. I know she talked about it a little bit.
October.
Correct.
October.
A little bit after.
And when does that funding start for that? Immediately?
Now.
Cool.
So, great opportunity. And her enthusiasm, it's her that makes things like that work. So excited. Our data with ODE, Remember Nothing, is official, but it is looking very good. It appears that we have met all indicators. So we are still waiting on the value-added piece to come in on that. Last year, that really wasn't until well into August. So hopefully, it'll probably be about the same time before that value-added side is calculated.
Do we know what our performance index is going to be?
It's higher than last year. We had one building at 108.5.
Wow.
But again, I hate to do too much because there were some mistakes on the state side of the data.
Okay.
That would definitely affect your performance index overall. But if that's fair for now.
That's fair enough.
If it runs a second week at the same rate, I'd feel better about sharing.
Very good. That's okay.
All right.
I know I pried that much out of you.
Well, there were mistakes made where, from my understanding, some students in the basic and limited areas were counted twice. And so obviously that would pull your performance index down over time. So I believe those mistakes are all, and definitely affected some districts more than ours, but that was an issue. And the last thing, I guess, speaking of data, obviously a lot of publicity around Columbus and some concerns about data being new. We are going to look into checking and just making sure that, that our information has been submitted correctly over the past few years and make sure we're aligned. I know some places are asking for that with other districts, so we're going to make sure we have that together.
Very good.
Other than that, week three.
All right.
Off to a great start. So it's been great so far.
Good.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Any questions for Diane at this point? All right. Treasurer's report.
End of the fiscal year, closed out in June with everything going very well. Now it's time for the audit, and they will be here starting the 6th of August for 2 weeks, and then they'll be back and doing things they're doing already working on it at their place. But there is a related questionnaire that I gave everybody. There's an envelope that needs to be filled. You fill them out. You can either mail it, or if you want to fill it out today and give it to me, I will get to the auditor so you don't have to mail. It's the same form that we did before for Amy and Sue. They're new, and if you have anything, you need to mark it. Otherwise, I don't know of anything that you might have, but there might be.
But read it and fill it out anyways, right? On your own.
Yeah, exactly. And then the other one is that I spent 2 afternoons last week with the auditor at the Board of Revisions that went pretty well for the district overall. And so we, 7 cases were decided right there and then. And I think that's the first time I've had them decided. The last couple of years, they've been very tenuous on everything, especially the TIF areas that we had. So we've got some that are decided. Overall increase, from my estimation right now, it's about $1.2 million in our values and what was decided that we on those 7 cases. So it's looking good.
What would that equate to dollar-wise, approximately?
If you just take it, I don't know, maybe a couple $1,000s or so.
Okay.
It just depends on what it ends up, because basically our values will go up. That means our millage rate's going to go down. The only thing that we'll get anything in is in our inside millage.
Okay.
So those are the areas that we would see. So.
And when would you see that?
Not until next year, unless somebody goes and does a appeal of their decisions, and then it'll take a few years.
Right.
Who knows? So that's it.
Okay. Any questions? Comments? All right. Next up is the Ohio High Point report. We've all been that's starred on my agenda.
There, it really was a light meeting, and on top of that, I didn't remember it until I got here that I needed to do that. So the combination of those two things is going to be very short. We didn't talk about a whole lot. I think the last meeting I mentioned that we're moving our adult ed to or starting to transition that to Clark State.
Oh, right.
What I found out at this meeting is that they still plan to maintain some sort of adult ed within Ohio High Point, and they're going to meet for do some planning to figure out how to reinvent themselves. And I think it's going to be more focused on local businesses and what their needs are, and then let Clark State kind of service some of the things that usually lead to credit hours and that kind of stuff.
Very cool.
Let's see if there was anything else. It really was a light
meeting. That's cool.
Yeah, I think that's, honestly, that's really all I can recall in my notes. So.
All right, good enough. Any other questions? All right. Next up is our legislative report.
Well, there's not much going on other than, meetings at this point. One thing that happened recently, Stan Jackson, who was newly appointed to the State Board of Education, mm-hmm. was in Marysville on the 16th at the library, and Doug and I both attended that. There were actually a lot of people there. He was very inspiring. He didn't talk about football much. He talked more about kids in education. And it was nice to see that a pretty good turnout for him. And I think he actually ended up talking and staying longer than he
So all in all, pretty positive then?
Oh, yeah.
Very positive. Yeah. He's really into this for the kids. And he talked about the third grade reading guarantee. And I'm reading now from Doug's notes because Doug took notes. Nice. I just sat and listened. And he talked about individualized education plans. And he mentioned how John Cooper's focus was to prepare his players for the NFL, yet most players don't go into the NFL. And he said the same is true for public education. We put a lot of focus on preparing kids for college, and a majority of the kids don't end up going to college, which is a point we've been talking about quite a bit. So his point being that we aren't adequately preparing those kids who don't want to go to college. And one big thing he talked about was school culture, and that we should be establishing a culture of excellence and respect in our schools. And that he talked about probably for quite a while, and how once you establish that and the kids are respectful of the teachers, you know, and controlling what's going on in there, and that we need to give more control back to the teachers. And that was a pretty lengthy part of his discussion.
I think a lot of his perspective, too, is some of the more inner-city type schools and stuff like that. And
right.
That's where I think most of his concerns are.
When does he start?
Everybody is. What's that?
When does he actually take his seat?
I think he's already been
there. Well, he hasn't been. The Senate hasn't. They have to vote on. And I haven't seen where they have voted on.
Well, I didn't hear anything about
his nomination. He's attending the meetings.
Oh, okay. That's
And I guess that the official is and I don't know that
as soon as everybody gets back.
Well, yeah, I don't know that they've been. They haven't had a voting session that I know of. I know they've met, but not for any voting session.
Yeah, I'm just kidding.
And
unless
seems
I missed
to
it.
Take so much flack though for getting appointed to that position. You know, he's just getting creamed, depending on what article you read.
Yeah.
Can I make a comment?
Absolutely.
I just wonder if he is familiar with Covey's habits, 7 habits of success, and I think we should invite him to Raymond.
There you go.
Oh, he would be, because he's trying, he said he was going to be visiting every school district.
Okay, right. I just think it ties into that culture,
yeah.
You know, the culture of respect and leadership and that kind of stuff. And I think that we've done a great job.
He actually, I think he already has an email set up from, you know, with the State Board of Education,
mm-hmm.
So I would guess it's on their website somewhere.
I have it.
But they're continuing the school finance hearings. Representative Amstutz, and the most recent one was about shared services and technology needs. So they're continuing those on through the summer. And
are they posting any of those online? Do they videotape those and have a link that you can go watch those?
Not that I have seen. I think they issue reports, which you can typically get links to.
Some
of the
curious.
Testimony you can,
yeah.
But I don't know that they're...
No, I'm just curious if they were... Because I know they're going all over the state, so they're outside of the state now, so I thought maybe they would tape them as they went.
I don't know. Not that I have seen.
What was that for? I'm sorry.
You can make a recommendation to him to do that, maybe.
I will. I'll drop a note with us.
The testimony on school financing?
The hearings that Representative Amstutz is having to try and... I guess help figure out school funding,
yeah.
And so they've already had all these presentations, and now they're having hearings. People come and give
right.
testimony on different.
Those
issues.
Are online though, right? And you can read them online though. I'm pretty sure of that.
Right.
I think all of the reports were, and I don't know.
I actually went out there when they only had like 3 or 4 of them and saw those. But I guess.
Which ones are you talking about? When they came in and actually talked about school finance, or when they're out, because they're going around the state doing those.
Right.
That's the one that I was asking about.
Oh, okay,
I know they put together those 8 presentations that they actually came in and did for the...
No, they actually... the one I was talking about is people coming in and giving their testimony.
Oh, well, maybe those are.
Well, OSBA, I know they had the links for the testimony they gave.
Yeah, they gave their testimony.
But I don't know. You certainly can get it if you would contact his office.
Awesome.
Yeah, if you'd email that to me, I'd appreciate it.
They would give that, any testimony.
Or email it to everyone, I guess. I'll just mail it.
So.
Okay.
Not much else going on.
That's it?
Just a bunch of hearings.
All right. Good enough. Next up is the Finance Committee report.
Okay. Well, I'll take that one. We talked to the Finance Committee last time. Not the whole thing. But it might be nice for you guys to have a feedback loop since it is your committee. where we just kind of gave just a couple comments about what the committee talked about, maybe what next steps are, so that that committee could kind of see their work coming to fruition, I guess, would be a good way to say it. So this would be our first attempt at that, and we're not very well planned.
Right. Well, I printed off the minutes, and I think they're sitting at my desk, sitting on my desk at home. So I'm kind of like in the same boat, Doug, with the
except you prepared them.
So I've jotted down a few things here, and you guys can kind of help fill in if you want. But we kind of started out making sure that we were all on the same page still and had agreed that we wanted them to be looking at a cash balance policy and also looking at the PI and bonds, how all of that kind of ties in together with our top 10 list for repairs and kind of prioritizing the things that we think our district needs to be focusing on to keep our buildings safe and
so they're gonna they're gonna go through that whole list and kind of.
Yeah, I think Mike is scheduled to come to our next meeting. I hope.
Does he know?
And so you know, we just kind of wanted to focus on that, and then some of the other things that we talked about were the importance of making sure that we have a good idea of how much it costs to run each one of our buildings. You know, they said as a business, if you've got several buildings, it's good to look at the cost involved. And because when you compare, then you can see which ones are doing better and what can we do to make all the buildings more like that, or if there's something that stands out, it gives you something to work on, I guess. Then they also shared some of their comments that they've heard from the public about the upcoming levy. And I can't remember all of them, you know, but... But anyways, they shared those with us, and
you can email those to us.
We could email those minutes. Cindy took good notes at the meeting, and then finally, I know Bruce wanted to make sure that we included in here that we need to be aware of the MAA and some changes in legislation that could cause some problems with the nonprofit status with the MAA, as far as when you do fundraisers and money goes to individual accounts. But that's been done in the past. Like, for example, football, if you worked a bingo, then you earned money for your son's account.
Student account?
Yeah, and you're really not allowed to, you're not allowed to have individual accounts.
It's got to be for the
general fund.
Right.
And so anyways, he just wanted to make sure that even though it's not part of the school, you know, the MAA, since it impacts us and affects so many kids, that we need to make sure that we know what's going on there.
Well, I think that would be the case then for all of our booster organizations.
Exactly.
Because
didn't
yes,
we just talk about this not that long
they
ago?
They operate pretty much the same.
Yeah, but you can't do that. You can't.
Right.
I do know
several that have
so that would
drastically
like
changed,
club and
changed
all that?
How they've done it.
Yes, every one of our boosters.
Right. Well, and I do. I mean, I'm pretty sure that they've changed all that.
Oh, they have that,
yeah.
So they're okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
I know the coral boosters changed.
Okay.
So
there were a couple other things that I think we talked about them focusing in on. One was the audit report that the state
right.
audit comes out. I think just sitting down reviewing that, I think that's always been part of their...
The performance scope. Audit?
No, the regular.
Oh, the regular audit.
Financial
yeah.
audit.
Okay.
And then just in general, the five-year forecast, I know they've had this quick overview of it because we were trying to get them to weigh in on the mm-hmm. whole levy discussion, but I think it's really important for them to understand... the details of the five-year forecast so that as things come up throughout the year that they're not trying to get back up to speed on things. So
I would hope, maybe just a suggestion, that maybe as part of each one of your meetings you kind of touch on the forecast to start
that.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we talked at the beginning. We kind of went through the format of our meetings. We want to start the meeting out with a little update, anything that's happened in the prior month
right.
that could affect our finances, and Cindy would give us that update. And then after that, kind of a report from them on what they're working on, and then any other new business, old business that we wanted to talk about. So
yeah. It just seems to help you roll forward. So everybody's
exactly.
Kinda...
Yeah, and keep everybody in the loop. I think that's good.
All right.
Any
great.
Questions?
No, that was a great first report. That was great. And I'll be honest, and I appreciate that feedback loop, as I'm sure they do.
Yeah.
So it's nice to
I know the only other thing was just membership. We still need to find.
We had one person come forward as a result of the community meeting who was interested in membership,
okay.
And I know Doug
shot him an email, and then I
hadn't heard
back.
And the MEA member?
Did you hear anything?
I did not hear
yet. Okay.
And then it was supposed to be non-client.
Right.
And a classified. Right.
Non-teacher.
Okay. All right. And then again, thank you for that report. And we look forward to more of the reports. Next up, public participation. There is no public participation. All right. No one's. All right. And we're going to move on. Next up is the June 28, 2012 regular meeting minutes. I need a motion to approve those, please. Can I get a second?
Second.
Move and second. Any discussion? Hearing none. Can I get a roll call, please?
Mrs. Powers.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mrs. Devine.
Yes.
Mr. Lester.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. hold on 1 second. Let me just... minutes here. Next up is the resolution declaring the necessity to levy a tax. I need a motion to approve the resolution declaring the necessity to levy a tax for the amount of 4 mils, please.
Second.
Moved and second. I know there's going to be some discussion, so I would ask as we move through our discussion that you, as we've talked about previously, just kind of let me know, kind of keep it a little bit more orderly. Just let me know you want to be recognized, and we'll move in order instead of having side conversations and whatnot. So, so any discussion about that? Yes, Mrs. Powell.
Yes. I'm still not sure that's adequate.
Okay.
And with the feedback that we got from the public at the July 12th, I believe it was, meeting, several of those feedbacks did not feel it was adequate and had made statements that they wish they would up it and we wouldn't come back as many times to the drawing board. So, and it gets, I think we need some further discussion on the amount.
Is it possible we can put the forecast up here somewhere, please? Yes, sir.
One thing that's, I think, maybe is not clear to a lot of people when we talk about the forecast is what drives that mill. I mean, what drives that millage, there's a couple big items, you know, salary increases that we have built in there and the health insurance benefit increases that we have built in there. And so what numbers you pick for that, I mean, you can make 0 mils work. If you pull those out completely, you can make 3 mils work if you set those values. So, you know, what you're saying about it being adequate really depends on what you want those numbers to be. And I would agree with you that the numbers we have in the current forecast, 4 mils doesn't match. And that's my biggest issue with this is that, you know, our forecast has us in deficit spending, I think, next year. So, I think the, you know, I would go the other way and say that I think our increases that we have in the forecast are too much.
I don't know if I can recognize myself, but I will. again, you know, as we kind of went through the multiple work sessions, and I know, you know, you and I have talked about it a little bit on the side, is, you know, you can move, you can, those numbers are just forecast numbers. We can, you know, those numbers can be whatever they are. You know, when I look at that millage, it's, you know, I think what can we do to kind of get us to at least to 3 years as a minimum, and then, although this forecast only shows us as 2, and then we would have to work a little harder on year 3, I kind of, you know, you got to weigh on, you know, what can our community afford, and what can we, you know, what can we get by with? And I think that I would like to see more, but I think 4 mils to me is a, seems to be that, what Mr. Scherer said, it's the Goldilocks number, right? It's not too hot, it's not too cold. It's just about that. So if you look at that forecast.
I just made one small change. I moved the 8% on your benefits in fiscal year 14, 15, 16, and 17 to 4%.
Okay.
And that brought this number, the number in fiscal year 17 or 16, to a minus 56,000.
And that still includes a 2% increase.
And that still includes the 2% increase.
And a 1% decrease for TPP, right?
Okay. Yes.
And the 2% increase that's built in there isn't, it's built in there in such a way it's not actually what we talked about doing, correct? Because we talked about up to 2%, and this is a straight 2% total.
That's the up to 2%. You have to put the total amount in there.
Right, right.
Yeah. Right.
But this is like a 2% for the entire district,
right,
which is different than actually what we discussed.
I don't think so. I think we talked about up to 2% for the entire
district. Yeah, I mean, up to could be one, it could be a half.
You just have to budget that way. You have to
budget full
amount. Right, I'm saying that's not the highest amount that it could possibly be.
Right,
right.
Yeah. I guess worst case scenario.
Yes, ma'am. My other question is, so now you're taking the benefits and you're cutting them directly in half on the percentage.
Right.
Okay. Because I I'm just going to throw this out because Mike owns a business and I know what our employees, what the percentages every year of health insurance go up, 4% is not going to cover it. I mean, it's just not going to.
No, and right now, Amy, according to our negotiated agreement, it's up to 8%. Anything over that 8% that is increased, the employees have to pay the remainder
right.
of.
So why are we coming down to 4?
That's where
Why
saying
are we not
as us, it will go to 4%. We discussed to 4%, and then anything over that 4%, then the employees pick up that difference. So that would mean that our employees may have to make some other adjustments to the plan. I mean, the plan for the medical this year was about 7% increase.
And that agreement is in effect through June 30th of next year, correct?
Of 13th of this
so
fiscal year.
So there isn't anything from that point on.
Well, actually, it's rolled over as of that point.
Okay. I would just mention that, again, you can shift those numbers around however you want. That is just one. That's just one of a thousand ways you can, and really, I think you only did that because that was the discussions that we had. Okay. To kind of see, you know, if we did this, could we do this? But. That's going to, you know, once we get into negotiations, you know, sit down with you know, the MEA and whomever, figure that out. Yes, sir, Mr. Lassiter.
You know, one of the things we talked about when we first started the levy discussions was what kind of commitment can we make to the community when we put a levy on the ballot? If they pass it, you know, are we going to try to stay off the ballot for X number of years? And the biggest issue I see with this, even taking that, dropping that down to 4%, we're still in deficit spending next year. And, you know, I think we spend so much time looking at cash balances, and we should be looking at cash flow. Because, you know, you could have a very small cash balance and make it last forever if you have good cash flow. And so I think we should focus in on making those numbers positive for X number of years. Then we can make a commitment to the community with some confidence.
So what are you suggesting?
Well, there's two ways of doing that. You either increase millage or you decrease some of the assumptions we have in there.
Right.
And, you know, my recommendation would be decrease the 2% to a 1%.
Here's what I would say then. Again, actually I think Bruce made a great point about it at our last meeting was, look, you're really just asking for the amount that the community can afford. Everything else you have to figure out how you're going to do. Yeah, we can assume it's going to be 1%, but I don't know that we may be able to figure out something else. We may not have a 1% drain off in our TPP, which will push that out for. I mean, there's 100 things we can do. We should.
And that's the other recommendation I'd make is I think I'd make our revenues match state law because the whole idea of even if TPP goes away next time, we're still going to have to be back on the ballot, even with that 1% in there. So that 1% really is just it's really not. The purpose of it is supposed to help with TPP, but it doesn't really help. If you play with that numbers, you pull it out, you still have to be back on the ballot next year, or not next year, but within the next couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, having it in there is just kind of, it's showing an inaccurate picture of what our revenues are as of today. Because right now, it's in revenue. That's where we take the 1% out. And so if you look at it, it looks like state funding is going down. Well, right now, current law says it doesn't. Like right now, current law says that TPP extends, you know, maintains at current levels after next year.
After next year.
So I think
after this year.
After this year,
after
I know.
This year.
Yeah. After this fiscal year.
Which is next.
Yeah. I know.
It's a whole calendar. Yeah.
So my recommendation would be to make that match state law. And then
we can do that in October when we do the forecast. Right now we're just looking at what's the millage rate.
I just have a hard time approving to put a levy on the ballot when the best picture for our district shows us in deficit spending next year. I just, you know, to me it's like, well, what are you doing? In fact, we had some comments from the community about that too. So,
which comments specifically?
I don't remember.
Oh,
I just know there was.
On the ones that were standing?
They were talking about how we were, yeah.
I think Cindy and I both spoke about the necessity to continue to look for ways in which to, save money over time. And that this was based on some assumptions as well, but our pursuit of making that money last as long as possible was not over. You know, we're still going to look for ways to run more efficiently and lean. And being a few weeks into it, we don't have all of that panned out or the right people at the table yet. But that is certainly a responsibility that we take very seriously as well, and we talked about that as well.
Wouldn't it make sense then that if we set revenue the right, you know, state law for forecast purposes, and then on top of that, drop the salary increases down to whatever it takes to make that work, and then if we find efficiencies and we can save money in the district, then that makes more money available for negotiations next year. I mean, to sit there and put 2% in there and say that that's what's available for negotiations and then turn around and show that we, you know, we're already in deficit spending and we have negative balances. Well, I guess a negative balance wasn't far off. But it just, to me, it's not a... It's not a forecast that I don't know if any of us would agree to 2% raises, knowing that it's going to put us in that position when the negotiations come. So it'd be hard. I don't know.
Well, I mean, again, since
we're a criticizable position, I guess.
Yes.
I just want the reminder that we agreed up to that we didn't, you know, and the negotiations haven't happened, and right. You know, who knows? It could be we're going to do it. 2% raise and then nothing, you know, maybe every other year or,
right.
You know, something.
Sure.
There's a variety of things that can happen out there. And so, I mean, I tend to agree with Jeff that through all of the studies that we've done and all the research and analysis that I think we all agree with that 4%. And I understand why you don't like the, you know, negative, the deficit spending, things like that. But to go back and focus on the fact that these are assumptions, that it is a forecast, and that we know everything's going to change, you know, it could change tomorrow. And so we're really talking more about that millage, and do we feel comfortable with that millage, knowing that we have some, we know that we're going to be changing some things. And I think we have some room to change some things, too, and we know that the TPP stuff, who knows what's going to happen with that, you know, so... I guess instead of focusing so much on how everything looks in there, it's knowing that we put a lot of thought into the assumptions and we feel comfortable with the range of some of those assumptions, and that 4% gets us
four mils.
Kind of close, or 4%, 4 mils, gets us, you know, it gives us a little bit of a comfort level as far as how much we think the community will, you know, how much they can support that, and give us the incentive to keep on trying to find other ways to save, and know that as we go into negotiations, we may not be looking at 2%.
But wouldn't they have more confidence in that levy, in voting for that levy, if they can look at the forecast and see that we had a healthy forecast? I mean,
if people are really going to be doing that, there are some people that will do that, you know. But I think the majority of people are looking to us to do our homework and research and feel confident.
I would hope that if you look historically, you know, we made our last levy, you know, stretch 2 years longer than was anticipated. And I would like to think that would be our goal with this particular one when we pass it, that we're not just looking at a 3-year cycle. We're looking to push that number as far out as possible.
What? Let me ask you this question.
Sure.
What purpose is that, having that 2% in there? What does that serve? What purpose does it serve?
It allows you to budget.
What's that?
It allows you to budget.
I guess my concern. Okay. I guess
it's up to 2%. It could be right. Zero. It could be two. And somewhere, anywhere in between.
Is that what are we looking at, Cindy? Yeah.
What I just did was I took the TPP to law, to state law, and I took the 2% out. You're still at negative. You're still at deficit spending. Even after this coming year, in fiscal year 14, you're still at deficit spending.
Ms. Powers.
You know, and again, you know, wasn't that the purpose of our July 12th meeting? I saw very favorable to the public saying that the 4% was not a problem, and the ones that I read said, one of them said, you should ask for up to 6%.
Mills.
I mean, why are we worried about this 2% and 4 mills, and if we've got the feedback from the community telling us, gosh, you need to really up it a little bit and make sure that you're covered.
Ms. Greer.
There weren't that many people. I don't think that is a representative, a good representation of the entire community. Because
then why
unfortunately,
did we do it?
Well, because we had no idea how many people were going to attend, and we're thankful for the people who did attend. However, it wasn't.
Honestly, at the end of the day, the only way you're ever going to find out what your entire community wants is to put it on the ballot.
On the ballot, right?
Yeah. Cindy, you should.
I'm sorry, Sue. Did you have a comment?
No, I was just to say, you know, I was out of town for that meeting, and so I was only able to look at the comments and not have that personal experience of being there. And I really kind of felt like it was all over the board.
It really,
you know, there were a couple that said, can't you find a way to make do with what you got? There were a couple that said, this is very reasonable, I appreciate the information. And then a couple that said, it seems a little low. Well, you know, why are you asking for four when it shows that you're in a deficit later on? And so, I mean, I really came out of that feeling, well, that's kind of the old normal curve, I guess, you know?
Exactly. I like that other too. Do you go back through what you've done, Cindy? Because somehow my numbers aren't matching up to yours by a lot, so.
I changed fiscal year. I took the TPP to state law. The last 4 years in the forecast.
Okay.
And then I took out the 2% that was in the personnel service.
And you took that out on the personnel service line?
Yeah, on the line. And 57, line 57, is excess revenue over and under. sorry about that.
What years? Can you tell me the vertical column, what year is
they start. This year is fiscal year 13 through 17.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
So with those, and you have to look down here to see what you're adding in as far as your each year for your revenue on the levies that we have to renew over the next 4 years. So you're basically, depending on these numbers here, that's here. It's you're $9 million short here, and this one's only eight. You're only bringing in $8 million that year.
So line 86 is the true deficit spending.
No, line 86 is the true cash balance with the renewals.
Right.
Then line 96 would be with the 4 mil levy.
Got it. So line 96 with the 4 mil levy. That's what we were talking about, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's cash balance with 4 mil levy. State law, no increases, 4% on increase for medical insurance.
So, got it. So that line above is what again? The line 86?
86. This line?
Yeah.
86? That's with just the renewals.
Okay. Right, okay, got it. Yeah, and so the levy, okay, that's what we were talking about, is the levy, what the balance.
Right here's the line 96 okay. would be with a formula.
That's why I thought you were saying we were in negative, and there's, no. Like, there's no way we'd be negative.
No, I said expenditures.
Deficit spending.
Right. Deficit spending.
Deficit spending without the renewals.
Well, up top it doesn't include the...
Right, and I was just adding them in my head.
Okay, I was going to say that shouldn't be... Well, the renewals will never be because you're not adding in the new money, right? I mean, you're going to be obviously in deficit spending with renewals,
right?
And any type of increase in our forecast without, because it doesn't take into account the levy. But if you take into account the levy, then we're not in deficit spending,
right?
Okay, that's all I was getting at. If you do the 4 mil levy, you do the you took the salaries out, and then you dropped the TPP. Health insurance down to 4%. You took TPP out, and we're not in deficit spending in that scenario.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mr. Grew.
What effect would it have on our forecast if we did it as an incremental, like a 2-1-1?
You mean increases?
Like a 2-3-4?
No, the
formal levy, but a 2-1-1.
Yeah, an incremental.
It's, right, like a two, then a 3, then a 4.
Yeah, a 2-1-1. So, yeah, you add the second year is
right.
3, and then the third year is 4. Correct.
Actually a little less, I think.
Yeah, it is a little less. Because I think this total was like 8.
I don't want to say that was 8.
It was, yeah.
And I don't have the resolution for an incremental.
But we're not showing anything in here for teachers, right?
No, or any staff member.
We weren't suggesting that. She was just trying to show what that meant. But so if you put a 1% in there, then... We could, anyways, you don't have to do it. I'm just saying that's, to me, when I ran the numbers, you put a 1% in there, you put in all day, every day kindergarten, you put in 4% for the salary or for the health insurance increases, and you can have positive cash balances throughout the forecast. And
we might be, Diane, once we look at everything, we might have other areas that we haven't even started to think about that we can get to a positive cash balance, but not without giving us time to do that.
Well, I understand. My point is that if we're going to go to the community and say, we put this levy on, we're committed to a positive cash balance, good cash flow, sustainable forecast, don't want to come back to you until another 4 years, 5 years, we need to have a forecast that shows that. And then and so we have to adjust expenses to match that. I mean, we can't sit there and ask for 4 mil levy and then put 5 mils of benefit or compensation increases in there. I mean, that's essentially what it is. We got $4 million in, I think it's $4 million in, $4 million in when you add in the 2% and the 8% annual.
I'll be honest, the forecast that this board approved with however it was, to me, presents a more realistic picture than saying, you know, TPP is not going to go away, you know, or whatever. I think that's just my opinion, but as I look at that and as I hear, you know, from people at ODE and everybody coming out, that TPP is just not going to be around. I mean,
I agree. If it's not going to be around, then sorry.
No, I'm just saying that's what this board agree on when we put that in there, because I know we hem-hawed around that, or not hem-hawed, but we talked back and forth about that, and that's what we decided to do. And I got to tell you, going forward with no raises for the next 4 years is just not realistic.
And I didn't suggest that.
I know you weren't. Okay. I know, but if you want a realistic picture of what we're voting on, I would have to say that the forecast that we started with is probably closer to it than that.
I do too.
It's just my opinion. So here's where we are.
Okay.
We approved the forecast.
Correct.
In May. So that's what we're working with.
And it's changed.
We understand.
It's going to change.
$1.7 million difference.
It'll change.
And it will continue to change.
Yeah, it'll be.
And so I think if we focus more on the fact that we, you know, that that 4 mil is gets us in the ballpark of where we want to be, and we know that we're going to make some changes. We haven't gone into negotiations, and you know, but if everybody understands where it leaves us based on the approved forecast, we know we've got some work to do, and we know that we have the goal that we don't want to come back in 3 years. We want it to last for 5 years if we can. So, I mean, I feel comfortable with the 4 mils, because I think we can find some things, and I think we have some room to negotiate, to change some of our assumptions, play with some of our assumptions, I guess.
Well, there's not, I'm sorry.
Mr. Greer.
And there's nothing to say that based upon different things happening with the forecast that we couldn't approve another forecast. I mean, you're required to do it in May and October, but you can all do it in between there also.
You could do it every week if
yeah,
you want.
Yeah, if you wanted to.
Yeah.
But you could.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, based upon the different changes that are going on.
Right. So here's where we are after multiple meetings talking about our forecast and moving on to this. Here's a resolution we have in front of us for 4 mils. Now, we can either vote on this, or I will ask if there's any amendments to this particular motion that you would like to make at this time. If there's not, then I will call for a vote.
I do want to make one more comment.
Absolutely. Okay.
You know, my position is I can't support putting a levy on the ballot when the forecast doesn't represent the commitments that I think this board should make, and that is the commitment to staying off the ballot, a commitment to for 3 to 4 years, a commitment to having positive cash flow and avoiding deficit spending. We can't even commit that in this forecast, and we can't support the levy.
Okay. Are there any further comments, discussions? Ms. Group.
What would be the possibility of us working on a new forecast based upon different things that Cindy has sent us recently?
I guess I don't understand what your question is. Mm-mm. I mean, she works on the forecast all the time, so I guess I don't know what are you asking for us to do?
To approve another forecast. Not tonight.
No, I mean...
I'm not saying that that's...
I don't think anybody wants to change it. I mean, I wasn't even looking for it improved. I was just looking for people wanting to change it to make it represent a positive balance.
Again, all we're...
I mean, that's your guys' decision. I'm just saying that's...
Okay. Again, we're just moving numbers around to make that bottom line, you know, bounce however you want. I think I would disagree. I would say that this board is committed to making sure that levy lasts as long as possible. I don't think anybody here says, well, you know, that wouldn't be the case. So I would disagree maybe with that comment just on that ballot.
And I guess in terms of intentions and in terms of the fact that if you go into negotiations with 2% here and you walk out handing out 2%, you're not making that. But there's not anything you can do that can prevent getting back on that ballot, because once you commit to those salary increases, you're stuck. And then what we could find out 2 weeks later or 2 months later that we have the community's on the hook for another 10 mils in CPP phase out.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we're committing to 5 mils of salary increases right here in this forecast. And then I just think that's too much given that liability that's out there with TPP.
Okay. Any other discussion? Okay. Not that I need a roll call then, please.
Mr. Lassiter.
No.
I'm sorry. Hold on. Okay. Thank you.
Mrs. Devine.
Yes.
Mrs. Powers.
Yes.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Oh, sorry. Didn't get my vote here. All right, next up is everybody's favorite. I need a motion then to approve the delegate appointment for the November 12, 2012 annual business Ohio School Board Association meeting. You were, I think Tracy was our delegate.
And I never can go. I never can get off work at that time of the year. It's just impossible.
Well, I need a motion to approve that, and then we'll discuss.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Moved.
Second.
Moved and second. Discussion.
My fault. I'm never able to go at that time of the year. I just can never get off work at that time.
Do we have the document where we have to actually
Yeah, I just need.
We can figure out who it is. Is that correct?
No,
is
we
just
have
one day.
No, it's, yeah. No, it's more.
I don't want the delegate. The delegate
meetings. Is only one day on Monday.
Yeah,
okay. And it's Monday, and
you can.
Yes,
do it?
It has to be. You
I
have to
I
say
that.
Sue can do it.
Unless somebody else wants. I mean, I'm
I'd like to
I'm
go to the conference if that's.
Well, we've got everybody's got.
Everybody gets invites. Yeah, that's just for the. So you can go in and vote for the platform and all that stuff. And then, do you want to be the alternate?
I'll be the alternate. Unless Amy wants to.
Amy's like, no.
I'm good. I'm good.
No.
I'm good.
Yeah. Okay.
And it's Monday, November 12th. Right.
I believe so.
Yeah,
yes.
You'll get
at 2 p.m.
You'll get the platform. You'll get OSBA's platform and all their stuff. You'll believe me. You'll.
Maybe you want to do this
guy. What's that?
I knew better. No.
Too late now.
I like how you pushed a run for that.
All right. Were there any further discussion on that? Not then. I need a roll call, please.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mrs. Devine.
Yes.
And Mrs. Powers.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Next up is the, I need a motion to approve the Treasurer CFO action items A and B, please.
Moved
and
second.
Tracy moved to second. No, I need a roll call. I need discussion. Cindy. Really? How long have I been turning your name tag around? Cindy. Thank you. I've got so many things going on
here. I really didn't give you anything. I gave you the financial reports and the final everything from last year, so the bank balances and all. And then we have two donations, one donation, middle school. Bunchel donations for football. That's for the Marysville quarterback for $3,000 to help purchase supplies.
Any other questions, comments on the treasurer action items? Hearing none, then I need a roll call, please.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mrs. Devine.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mrs. Powers.
Yes.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes, motion carries. All right, second up is our resolution to determining to proceed to levy a tax. I need a motion to approve the resolution determining to proceed to levy a tax.
Got to wait till I get it.
Oh.
Oh.
Can I have the floor for about 10 seconds?
If I can just get a motion in a second, I will ask you to stand right up.
Great.
I get a motion? Moved and second. Sue second, Amy. Andrea, please.
Yep.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Yes.
And then I'll get out of your hair.
No,
I'm
not.
Can you get me a signed copy of this front of mine?
Yes,
ma'am. As they say, timing is everything. And as it just so happens, we have unveiled in the last 2 weeks new features on my website, which happens to be one of the features says tax estimator.
Yay.
Where do your tax dollars go? You had asked earlier. You had asked earlier about how much money was the extra board revision, about $22,000 and some change.
Okay.
What you can see on this page, and I was ill-prepared for this. I just always carry this with me, and it occurred to me it could be useful.
Pull it up?
No. You can. It's up to you. I don't want to take any more time because I'm not really on your agenda. But this is my house. This is our house, and you can see the pie charts. So easily, when you go look at your own parcel, the search engine is identical. Once you get to the property you want to look at, you'll see pie charts that represent pieces of tax pie.
Mm-hmm.
On the left, and this is real small because it's an iPad, on the left you'll see choices where you can search by various and sundry things, and one of them is tax estimator. So for your newly voted formula levy, a citizen can click, just touch tax estimator and put in, actually if they're looking at their own property, that will be the default value that will automatically populate that field. But they could also put in any value of any property. And then they just put in 4.0, hit enter, and it will tell them exactly what it's going to cost them the first tax year.
Cool.
Anyway, it's a cool tool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of nice.
And that's right on the auditor's site, correct?
Yeah, go to the co.union.oh.us, which is the county's website. And then when you go to search property records, as I said, the way you get there is identical. But once you bring up the property you're looking for, it's like Alice in Wonderland. Everything looks different. But it's very pretty, and it's very intuitive, and it's really designed to just be incredibly useful to provide people probably more than they ever wanted to know, because we have effective tax rates and reduction factors and summing of columns and amazing things to really help folks.
Is there a way we can add a link to our website to that then?
Yes, we'll take care of that.
That would be wonderful.
That would be great.
It helps anybody who's looking at, not only for themselves, for how much is a levy going to cost me, but overall, how has my tax rate changed from year to year to year? And I want to put on a $20,000 machine shed. I own a farm. What is that? What's that going to do to my taxable value? And,
really?
Oh my goodness!
I'm
it's
into
really
that.
A lot.
I'm about to go.
A lot of really amazing, wonderfully So we are not quite done with the whole tax with the whole conversion. Most of it is finished. So I encourage you to encourage your citizenry and your constituents to take a look at it. If they have any questions, absolutely email me, call me. I have a tremendous team of people that would be willing to assist. But keep in mind, I beg your indulgence, it's kind of like trying to change a flat tire while it's moving. We still got to keep moving, but we're learning it as we're trying to do work as we're moving. So be patient if we say, well, you know, let me put you on hold. I can ask somebody. We're trying to get through the new software as quickly as we can. But this is available now, so it's perfect for your education.
That looks like it's going to be very, very helpful.
It's very cool.
I love and the pie charts, man. I couldn't be more excited right now. I'm telling you.
We have pie charts, you know, for everything. So you can clearly see, for those that aren't interested in numbers, but they want to know about my tax burden, how much is going to the library. Oh, you can just see that piece of the pie. How much is going to the schools? How much is going to the 911?
Yeah, in the old one, you had to kind of figure out which one was well.
How much is my mental health levy costing me? All of those kinds of things. So it really is a tremendous interactive tax estimator.
Okay.
Very good. Let me know when you have that.
I will bring it over to you tomorrow.
No problem. I'll be there. I'm almost done with settlement. Okay. You should have second half tax dollars probably middle of next week.
Great. I like that news.
Anything else?
I like that.
And I'll get out of here.
Thank you.
No, thank you, Andrea.
Thank you.
Thanks, Andrea.
See ya.
Okay, was there any further discussion about the this particular resolution to proceed to levy a tax?
Four mills will bring in $2,586,000 a year.
Again, no further discussion?
I did have a question. I guess my question would be, why did we only have it in the one way, the four mill? Did I miss something? Had we already decided that, as opposed to like incremental? Or because I know Sue had talked about that.
Nobody really jumped on the incremental.
No. I had done put all together all these spreadsheets. I was going to send them on. Never did.
So no.
Sorry.
Oh, okay.
We've already voted on what we're going to. This just puts us on the ballot.
It's just a question.
Yes, no, that's an excellent question, but.
Because I like Sue's idea.
So, hearing no further discussion, then can I have a roll call, please?
Mrs. Powers,
yes.
Mrs. Devine,
yes.
Mr. Lassiter,
no.
Mr. Mady,
yes.
And Mrs. Greer,
yes.
Okay, motion carries. All right, next up, I need a motion to approve the extracurricular eligibility requirements for homeschool students.
Move.
Can I get a second, please?
Second.
Move and second.
Say that again now.
Well, we're just making a motion, and we're getting ready to discuss the extracurricular eligibility.
Oh, okay, motion to discuss it. Okay.
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I'm just yes. Okay, so what you have in front of you or had in front of you is a board policy, and I'm going to jump in there anytime you want, is to modify our extracurricular eligibility requirements for homeschool students. Discuss.
I do not feel that one period is enough in my own estimation. I know that on even the days that they have an extracurricular activity in high school, they must attend four periods or they cannot play. I will see some problems coming there. If I was a parent and my child is going to school every day, and they're there for three periods, and they don't get to play football that night, but a child comes for one period and gets to play, I have a problem with that. So I'm just saying that we're going to have some issues there, and I could understand where a parent that their child is in school full-time would have a problem with it.
Sue?
I just wanted to kind of refresh us on the changes from our current policy. What the current policy is, they must attend four periods.
Five
periods. Okay, so this is dropping from five to one. Is there anything else in here that is different than our current policy, other than the number of periods that they have to come to now?
Well, no, because meeting the pay-to-play athletic eligibility rules, maintaining the everything else would be the same as prior. The big
right. It's just the number of periods.
Right. We looked at Olin Tangi's last
right.
meeting, and I've sent you several
right.
others.
Right. Okay. Okay. Yeah. I mean, my biggest concern is just whatever our policy is, making sure that it can be enforced, and that whoever is responsible for enforcing it is familiar with it and feels comfortable with it. You know. So I mean, the whole thing about, and I guess I also have a little bit of an issue with just having one period a day. Again, mainly because of that, the day of the contest, and having for other students having to be in for at least half a day, and I think sometimes that's also other people looking into your school may question eligibility of some of the players, which could impact your whether you're if you win the game, then also they take it away because somebody was ineligible, and so that's my concern, is just whatever our policy is it enforceable? And is the person in charge of enforcing it comfortable with it?
I guess my comment would be, I don't know how you would enforce it. I guess that would probably be my biggest question is, like, if I'm only there for one period a day, mm-hmm. Could you get yourself to be ineligible because either the parent didn't understand what they were supposed to turn in or I mean, I just don't know how you enforce that on one period a day. To be honest with you, I don't.
You know, they may know how Olin Tangi does it.
I have.
I mean, other districts do it, so it's. I mean, it's not like it can't be done.
They do it. I don't know how many kids participate, nor do
right.
I know how
right.
many of anybody's ever challenged them to
right.
say, "Hey, you know, your quarterback's. You know, we'll take it for instance. You know, your quarterback's a homeschooler, and you know, he threw a record number of touchdowns, and if they happen to find out that, his mom thought, you know." Teaching for 2 hours with two classes when it's in fact one or however
right.
that is, all of a sudden you forfeited all those games because of one student because it wasn't clear on how to enforce it. And I don't know how they do it, to be honest with you. Maybe you do.
The feedback I've received is most schools have experienced kids doing other things besides athletics, so maybe orchestra, band,
right.
Some of those. Very few take advantage. Some of them couldn't even remember the last time they had a student. And then it fell on the athletic director to monitor, similar to students who may be taking an online course. And they have to set up a structure in which the students are turning in something every week. It just kind of depended on the situation they built with that student.
Mm-hmm. You know, I would add that, you know, our district has always emphasized the importance of extracurriculars,
mm-hmm.
And we go to lengths to try to create an inclusive environment for all students. Our number one protocol for this board is, that we look out for the interests of all kids in this district. I see on one side of it, you got parents that, are making decisions that I think all of us would make if we felt the same way they did. If we felt we can give our kid a better education on one-on-one homeschooling, then we would choose that.
No question.
Yeah, I understand.
No question.
If we felt like our kids were at risk or we didn't like them in an environment because of the heroin issues or whatever, drug issues, then we would choose to take our kids out for that. And so for whatever reason these parents are making that decision to do homeschooling, they're doing it for very legitimate reasons. And, and they're not going to change that. Because at one point somebody made a comment that, it's their choice. It's really not a choice when you think about what they're, it is, but we're not giving them a very fair choice in a sense. On the other side of the argument...
I would say that was case by case.
Okay. On the other side of the argument, it seems like we're worried about a perception of fairness in most cases. You brought up a very real scenario. Well, not a real scenario, it's still a hypothetical scenario, but it's real that it could occur in the sense that there might be some disqualification. I don't know how that would occur. Has it ever occurred? I don't know. You know, I guess that's...
My point was really, look, if we have to apply the same rules to everyone, so if we can... It's got to be the same for the kids who are homeschooled and the kids who are in the district. That's my point. I don't know how we.
How do we do it with Digital Academy?
Well, Digital Academy is different, though. I think, isn't it?
We don't do it anymore, right? Digital Academy.
We don't do it anymore.
But I know it was in our board policy to encourage those Digital Academy students to participate in extracurricular and co-curriculars, and there was no requirement for them to be on campus and attending a class.
But they're part of our curriculum though. They follow our exact curriculum.
They do.
We monitor them once a week.
But I think all they had to ever do is log in once a day. Is all the requirement was. My daughter was in it, and so you know I don't know how that would map over in terms of you know it's just going to be different. If you're educated in a certain way, you know, obviously if you're homeschooled, there's attendance is probably measured a different way than it is if you're here.
I don't know.
And I know the Ohio High School has, you know, it says here's what you need to do to be qualified. So I think the only thing that would lead to a forfeit is if those things weren't met. And I think those are things that are easily, I would think, would be easy to monitor.
Ms. Powers.
You know, not saying to take it off, but I think we need to table it. I think we need input from the athletic director, in all fairness. I think we need input from some of the teaching staff. I think that we need more input than us as a board deciding this. Why should we decide that somebody has to do extra work outside of their job description? Or maybe I'm way off base, but I just think that we need more input on this.
Actually, I had some more specific questions about this particular policy, to be honest with you, as I read it. But I mean, my question is this 7 to 12 only? Is that what we're talking about?
What's that? Yeah. Oh.
For the extracurricular?
Well, it doesn't say on here. That's why I was asking. So is this for grade 7 to 12?
Oh, okay.
I mean, I don't know what wrote it up. But.
I don't know. Because, I mean, really, I would, if we're going to do something like this, I would want it to be for the entire district, you know?
So I'm in first grade. What does one class mean? I know one class means at the high school. What define one class in first grade? Go ahead.
Reading?
I don't know.
Maybe they're coming just for art or music.
Okay, and I would ask you this: if I'm a homeschooler, and I don't like to use that word, if I'm homeschooled, I don't know what you want to call them, students. Am I required to? Can I take a class, and when the season's over, can I drop it? Because according to this policy, I can come in, I can take a class, and the day my season ends, I can drop my class, and I'm done.
Mm-hmm. And this is Marysville Middle School and High School.
Right. Oh, it does?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I didn't see
one
that.
Subject as an enrolled student at Marysville High School.
Okay, all right, thank you. Okay, so that answers that. But my second question is that are they free to come and go? Is that, you know, because we don't seem to prohibit that in here anywhere. And I would also ask, does this have any effect on our OGTs? If I'm a 10th grader, if I'm in for one class, do I have to take an OGT, or do they normally take them, or how does that work? Is that
if you are in school for that class, if you're in for algebra or English, then you must test in that area.
Okay, so you have to. Do homeschoolers take the OGT as well, or do they not?
No, they can.
But they don't have. They're not required to.
Right.
So if they're in class, they do have to take the OGT.
If they're in a class that's in a tested area.
Okay.
They only take in their tested area.
Does that affect our OAAs at all?
If they were in a tested, if they sat in English class, they would have to participate in the reading part of the OAA.
Okay, so then that in effect has an effect on those two areas. Mm-hmm. Okay. It just seems to me that there's, we can vote on it, we can table it. I mean, that's up to you. I don't think, you know, one class is enough to do it. I could certainly move off of five, but I don't. One is not for me. Please, Mr. Greer.
I know of two different people who homeschool at least one of their children. for four different reasons. One, the child has a lead allergy, which makes it kind of difficult to be in classrooms. Imagine that, all the pencils. You know, and what do you do?
I guess, can
you imagine?
No.
Okay, so that's one. And another one, their child just wasn't getting what he needed in our buildings, and so they decided to homeschool that child, and he's doing exceptionally well. And it wasn't because they had any issues, because their other kids do attend the school. And so while I think, you know, it would have been nice had, you know, he'd been able to participate in band or, you know, whatever else, because his siblings are.
Sure.
But just because, you know, he needed to be homeschooled because we weren't able, according to his parents, to, you know, meet his particular needs, you know, they had to make that choice for him. So.
All right.
So, you know, would a gym class, would you be exposed to lead, you know, as opposed to a classroom where everybody has pencils, you know?
I mean, I don't know, yeah.
But what I'm saying is, you know, and it's not necessarily, well, you know, we don't like your school, it's...
Right.
Well, I don't think anybody's making that comment.
But to then say, well, sorry, you can't participate in anything because you're not here longer.
Right.
And say, well, but I can't. I don't think that we should.
Well, in that particular instance, they couldn't even show up for the minimum one, right?
Well, I guess depending upon what it was, I don't know.
Because I mean, if you have a lead allergy, that you can't be in the school building. It doesn't matter if you're there for one or for five. You can't be there.
You may not be able to be too many places at all.
Yeah, wow,
really?
That's terrible.
Right.
That's
yeah. I don't know because I haven't completely explored that.
Okay, so.
Well. I agree. I don't feel comfortable with one. I'm willing to move down two, but I don't know. I mean, if we vote, I mean, since we're already planning to work on revising our policies. I mean, I don't know. I guess if we voted and it didn't pass, then we just would have to bring it up again with the revised one, or would it make more sense to table?
I was going to say, if people don't feel comfortable with it, we can table it. The only downside of that is it probably wouldn't apply for this upcoming year, but it sounds like you're probably only, if, you know, his history and trends or any guide, you'd probably one or two kids would be affected by it. And it seems like the concerns are that we have a lot of unanswered questions and we'd like to talk to the administrator, so I'm fine to come table it.
All right. Then you want
to
make a motion.
I move to table it.
I'll second that. A roll call, please. Yeah, we'll have to come off the table at our next meeting.
Right.
So make sure that's on our agenda for next time. Please.
Yes. Mrs. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Mabee?
Yes.
Mrs. Greer?
Yes.
Mrs. Devine?
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter?
Yes.
Okay, motion carries.
So, can I ask, so we just need to make sure that who will be talking to Joe Blind and or...
I'm going to leave that up to our esteemed superintendent to take the lead on that.
What's going on?
Or if I understand it right, we will have an assistant superintendent who may see his first job just show up. So
all right.
Did you bring a notepad?
That's
a
remember that? You know all the things you didn't want to do.
A long list right there.
Okay, moving on. Then I need a motion to accept the superintendent action items. A through G, and then the items on the addendum, which is A on the addendum, but I think it's probably H. All right?
It's so nice doing it this way. Did you move or somebody move on?
No, I need someone to.
I'll move.
Second.
All right. Moved in second then. Discussion, please. That was you. I'm pointing.
You ready for me to
yeah,
go?
I'm as ready as I'm going to be.
All right. I think it's appropriate this time. I think each one of you had the opportunity to meet Andy Culp. He'll be joining us as assistant superintendent. super excited to get him on board, as his list is growing very long, even when he doesn't know about it. Andy comes to us from New Albany, where he's been middle school principal, or at the middle school for 16 years. Definitely a huge talent in addition to our district, very strong with collaboration. When I talked to one board member who was a personal friend of mine in high school, he said, "Diane, I think I'm going to cry and withdraw my daughter from and have to find another school." He's very well regarded. Teachers love him, so I'm excited for what he will bring to our table as well. Has knowledge and understanding of strategic planning, which is definitely one of our goals on the horizon. So, and a total strength around curriculum instruction and assessment. So just excited to have him on board. Jeff and Tracy had the opportunity to talk to him as well this week.
I would certainly add, you certainly have a strength in curriculum. There is no doubt. And I got to tell you what, the things that you're going to help us do as a district are going to be incredible. And so we're certainly looking forward to that. I would mention for the public's consumption that you know, his salary will be paid for as a replacement from somebody else. Greg Stubbs is retiring, and so that'll... It's not a new position. It's more of a reallocation of our resources for that particular one.
First question my wife asked. I was like, no.
That's all I want to make. I want to make sense.
That's actually going to be my closing, but you want to steal my thunder. I want to intro someone under that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, here he is. And by the way, we're paying for it like this.
Someone else. So.
Yes, but no, I'm very excited to have you start and really, you know, help us on our strategic planning. I know you're very strong on that. And so welcome aboard after we vote on you. Tracy, if you want to add anything to that.
No, I'm so excited. I'm going to do the jigs.
All right.
Other than that, that's the only thing I have to comment on. So excited to welcome Andy and his wife and here this evening and become part of the good work we're doing here.
So, welcome.
Great.
Thank you.
All right, was there any further discussion on the superintendent action items? Hold on one sec. Okay. Hearing none then, I'll get a roll call, please.
Scholaster.
Yes.
Screer.
Yes.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Vine.
Yes.
Powers.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome.
It's a big goal.
Thank you.
Okay, next up, I need a motion to approve the resolution to approve the COG action to borrow money. Terrible wording on that, but...
Wait a second.
It's on your addendum.
But that's 16.
Yes.
Where? Oh, we're just going to 16.
Well, did I miss one? Well, yeah, because next is just comments and questions, and then so I'm going to...
Okay.
That's just the way they numbered it, so I'm going to... Here you go. Second, please.
Second.
Moved and second. Discussion, please. Mrs. Greer.
I don't recall seeing the resolution. How much is this for?
It's in the fiscal note.
It's for...
For us, it's...
$69,787.23. And that'll be paid over 10 years to $6,978.72 a year. And it does not start until a year from now that we have to start paying it back.
It comes out of PI funds?
And it will come out of PI funds, yes. And it's already within the appropriations.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Hearing none, can I get a roll call, please?
Mrs. Powers?
Yes.
Mrs. Devine?
Yes.
Mrs. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Mabee?
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter?
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Next up, any comments and questions from board members? Moving from my right to left, Mrs. Powers.
No,
sir. Mr. Lassiter.
Nope.
Ms. Devine.
No.
Ms. Greer.
No.
Moving to my left, Ms. Mankins.
I think I summed it up. It's been a great start.
All right. Ms. Ritter.
No.
All right. I have no further comments then. Then I need a motion to move into executive session, please.
Mm-hmm. I'll second.
Wow. I don't know who moved.
Sue.
All right. Move in second. Can I get a roll call, please?
Mrs. Devine.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mrs. Powers?
Yes.
Maybe?
Yes.
Square?
Yes.
Okay, we are in executive session at 8:20.
I do now 14 minutes.